Tony on with me today. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Jake.
How you doing?
Oh, you know, I'm doing pretty good. You know, enjoying that wonderful Rochester weather.
Oh, God, you mean this, like, 95-degree death weather that we've been having in the day?
Yes, in the same month that it was snowing.
Yeah, it snowed this month. It's been 90 degrees this month. My allergies are just absolutely killing me. I'm ready for it to rain to kind of lock the pollen down to the ground and cool back into the 70s, that nice comfortable temperature.
Yeah, no, I can't complain about allergies, but my wife could have killed me when she found out after my allergy test that I had absolutely none. So, yay.
So my last allergy test that I did showed no allergies, but yet if I don't take both like Zyrtec or Claritin and Flonase every day, I die. So I 100% have allergies, and my wife wants me to get the blood test done next. So I got to see if our insurance will cover the blood test over the prick test to see what my allergies are.
Yeah, I suggest you bring your claymore with you to that that insurance fight, because it's probably going to be needed.
Oh, yeah. I've been in more than one fight with insurance about things. So, yeah, 100% going to be a fight to get that done. Plus, I don't think I could get into an allergist office right now, which I think brings us into why we're social distancing on Skype for this podcast. COVID-19 still happening. So let's talk about the virus elephant that is existing in the world. COVID-19. Hasn't this been fun?
Oh, yeah. You know, when I signed up to work a salaried position, I totally wanted to do full-time childcare, too. Yay!
Oh, yes. We have lucked out. Well, daycare never closed for us, but we decided to pull Nessa from daycare. So we kept her out of daycare for pretty much the entire month of March. Her fourth birthday was March 8th, and that was like the last normal event for her. She went to daycare, I think, the following week. And then we pulled her. Then in the month of April, my mom's division at the U of R closed down. And instead of going to the hospital, she took PTO. And we had her watching Ness 2 to 3 days a week. So we were doing split work childcare, having childcare some days. Then she had to go back to work in May. And we made it through all of 5 days before we agreed that Nessa had to go through back to daycare, and we tried sending her part-time 3 days a week, and we made it through 1 week of part-time before we're like, nope, she's going back full-time, we can't do this. So I understand the struggle, and I feel extremely bad for you having to do work and childcare.
Oh, man. Yeah, just hearing you say, like, she's already back, I'm just like, oh. We just got notice from Margaret's house the other day that they are probably not going to open until RIT opens, and that won't be until the fall semester. So may not open until, like, late August, beginning of September.
So the only thing I could say is there are a couple places out there that are doing, like, I don't want to call it emergency childcare, but if your childcare got closed, you can sign up for temporary childcare.
I gotcha.
So okay. There are some places in the Rochester area that have that. I think offhand, I know the YMCA was one of them, because the YMCA has closed all of their gym, pool, stuff area, but kept their childcare portions open. So if you are in desperate need of childcare, you can do that, because I understand how difficult it is to get up in the morning at 5 or 6 in the morning, work for 10 minutes, take care of the kid for an hour, work for half an hour, then, you know, it's a horrible split schedule. Being able to work a solid 8 hours again has been amazing for my mental health. So.
Oh yeah, no, I'm living in between. I'm living on podcasts, which is appropriate.
Yeah, I go between podcast. I signed up for a year of Audible, and you get all 12 credits up front. And I will say COVID has been amazing at knocking out almost all of my credits before the month of June. I think I have 4 credits left I've listened to. I just finished Darth Plagueis a while ago. I have a physics/philosophy book called Until the End of Time that I'm listening to right now. And then I watched the Community table read on YouTube, so I've restarted up Community. So that's been my other thing I've been doing, is watching Community here and there.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I am catching up on a couple shows, finally finishing up Legion. No spoilers, though. I have not completely finished it.
I got season one, so don't worry about that.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. But yeah, besides that, I finished up the History of Rome podcast, you know, satisfying the Ravenclaw brain that I have, you know. And then found out the guy does an alternative history podcast where, like, if different historical events had happened differently. So I'm tackling that one next.
That's got to be a good one. Yeah, my other activity is I'm in a book club, so I've been reading at least a book a month. Plus, I went hog wild on buying and books. So I got a ton of books off Kindle for free, so a bunch of open market stuff. So I got some philosophy books. I got, like, the Federalist Papers. Then I bought...
Nice.
Mythos, which is a, like, retelling of Greek stories. I bought George Watsky's book because it was on sale. I bought Secret Teaching for All Ages on Kindle because it was on sale. Even though I hold it physically, it's a lot easier to read books digitally. And then just this afternoon, I did the Humble Bundle for Joe Hill's Lock and Key comic book series. Even though I own all the comics physically, it was $15 to get them all digitally, plus it came with some of his other comics, and I've been buying way too many books. I have a problem.
I understand, man. And you know, that kind of on that note, the thing that really hurt me probably the second most is that the library closed with all this stuff, because I just got into the library system, and I'll tell you, I love it to pieces. I'm taking out tons of books, except for, like, now I can't.
So download Libby on your phone.
Okay.
It is an app, but it is in conjunction with your library system. So I have Libby, and you put in your Monroe County library card, and they have a ton of books and audiobooks that you can take out. And I think you get normally 28 days from the day you take out a book till it automatically returns. If no one is waiting in line for the book next, you can actually extend the hold. But that's how I read last year Chuck Wendig's Aftermath series for Star Wars was all through Libby. So
nice. Is that L-I-B-Y or L-I-B-B-Y?
L-I-B-B-Y. So.
Installing now.
There you go. Yeah, and I mean, we're now in... I think we're past phase one and up to phase two of reopening in Monroe County. So things are starting to reopen. This weekend we went to Hamlin Beach, which was dead, which was nice. We went for a walk on the canal. We actually went to Target as a family, all masked up. And then this morning after dropping her off, I ran to Home Depot to grab some stuff. And I think that'll bring us into what have you been doing outside of COVID? So what have you been doing?
Pretty much fighting wildlife around my house and trying to figure out how to keep this structure that is my home up and running.
The first month we dealt with the stress test on the house. Our shower broke, our fridge broke. We have a chipmunk living under our front porch that Emmy wants me to get rid of, but I find it cute and don't really care much if he's living under our front porch.
Chipmunk or groundhog?
Chipmunk. Little tiny thing. Not a groundhog. Real small chipmunk. Actually, yesterday before daycare, we went outside and there was a perfectly split nut on our porch. And it's like, oh, he left us a present.
So yeah,
we left the nut there. I went back inside to get Nessa, and when I came back out, half the nut was gone.
Oh, jeez. On that note, I would highly recommend checking out. There's a video of this guy who used to work for NASA setting up a bird feeder ninja course for a squirrel to basically test to see if they could actually make it through, because basically they tried all the like squirrel proofing techniques and objects that they could find on Amazon. None of them worked. So they're like, okay, well, if I construct something with like 10 different obstacles, is it going to stop them?
Yes. So the other thing I've gotten really into, partly out of laziness, and partly not out of laziness, is gardening. So I think last week or 2 weeks ago, we went to Country Max. We bought some flowers. While we were there, I saw this Adirondack chair that you put corn on to feed squirrels. I almost bought that. But I started rewilding my backyard, pretty much meaning to save me time mowing. I'm not mowing my backyard. And then Emmy yelled at me, so I mowed the backyard, and I told her I really want to rewild part of the backyard. So we came to an agreement that pretty much the last, I have the wall for $590 in my backyard, the last about 7 feet between the wall and our house, I am not going to mow anymore. So last year we made a donation to the Arbor Day Foundation, and we got about 11 trees in the month of November. So I had to plant trees in November.
I do not envy you.
Yeah. And then so I had originally planted 2 rows. And when I was out mowing, I went through and about out of the 11 trees, I want to say 4 of them didn't take, it looked like. Either animal took the little branch and ran with it, or it just didn't take for some reason. So I took everything that was in the second row and moved it into the first row that did take. And so that's going to be my barrier for where I'm not cutting. From where the trees are back, I'm not cutting. And then at Target this weekend, I bought a ton of those like $2 bags of wildflowers. And then I mixed them together with a bag of topsoil. And I just went outside and kind of threw the topsoil with seeds all over the place. And I've been watering it. And I'm hoping some of the wildflowers take. And I'm just going to kind of let my backyard go wild. So there's that. Then we bought basil, tomatoes, stuff like that. We're going to plant that in the front yard. My neighbor got a new shed and it came on a pallet. And I talked to him and took the pallet from him, mainly to fix the ramp going into my shed, but I'm also going to use the wood on the pallet to make a little flower box. So there's that. And then the other thing, which I was talking to you about, and I think I'm effed on, is, oh, and we can swear on this, it's going to be marked explicit. My hoses merged together. One of the hoses had a bronze connection. One of the hoses has a steel connection. I left them in the hose caddy over the winter and they are merged together.
They are
the hose caddy. Yeah, they are one. the hose caddy broke, so I bought a new hose caddy. But pretty much, yeah, they're one hose now. And it sucks because I hate one of the two hoses, because one of the hoses is, and Emmy said this sounded disturbing how I explained it. It's thick, it's girthy, it does not kink, it's a strong hose. The other one is thin. You pull it out, it gets kinks in it. You have to go find the kink, find where it kinked, release it. And I'm like, I fucking hate this hose. I want to get rid of it, but these two hoses are merged together, and that's what I'm dealing with. So outdoor
you got to appreciate the girth.
Yep. That thick, girthy hose, you know, so.
No, it's I hear you on that. A good hose is like you can't even like it's absolutely a necessity. There was one that we got when we bought the house because we inherited from the previous owners. I took one look at it and was like, "You're gonna last me like 2 years," and 2 years later, it's kind of trash.
Yes, so the thick, girthy one's the one with the steel connection, and I've read a lot online. People are like, hoses with steel. I don't know if it's steel, but it's silver. You only want bronze connection. Aluminum, maybe. You only want bronze connection hoses. You only want bronze connection hoses. And I'm like, but this aluminum one's really nice. So
yeah, aluminum, I would personally do aluminum because it's not going to tarnish in the same way.
Yeah. So my plan is, if it comes down to it, and I really want the two hoses disconnected, the hose I don't like, I would be willing to cut. And then once it's cut, I think I could really get in there and try to loosen it. But I'm not willing to go that far yet. I have a couple other things I could try, including heating it with like a butane lighter, CLR remover. I got a couple other things to try to get these hoses to separate. But if any of our like 10 listeners know how to separate hoses, I would very much love your tip on how to get these hoses to separate.
Yes. Yes. Please save the girth for Jake.
Yes. Save my thick, girthy hose. So I've taken up a lot of time.
And I'm just going to confirm that parental advisory now because, you know, don't need to be causing any lawsuits for Jake, my friend here. So please.
Well, you know, I usually try to come up with a name for the episode. Something fun. I think last week we had our friend Aaron Ruby on, and we just had so many good lines I couldn't come up with the final episode name. So I think it was just with Aaron Ruby. It was almost Dr. Aaron Ruby or our new sponsor Ruby Gordon Furniture. There were a couple, but this episode might be called Thick Girthy Hose. Like that might
be it. I'm okay with that.
So yeah, so Aaron was on last week, but I've taken up a lot of time today with what I've been doing. So what have you been doing?
You know, mostly I have been doing a lot. I wouldn't say necessarily boring things, but it's certainly things to keep my mind occupied, doing some puzzles. Honestly, if you're in the Rochester area, support your local board game store because I personally love One Just Games. They've been keeping me sane with delivery of both puzzles and a couple new board games that me and Becca have tried out. Code Names, the Harry Potter edition. Yeah, gotta love board games. They keep me sane in this time.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing a lot of plain old video games, but I think we got to get back into board games. We did a Zoom trivia night, and that was so much fun. Like, I'd love to do that with a group of people, but the problem is someone has to host it so that the host group doesn't get to play. But that was a lot of fun. Unless I could find, like, one that's kind of pre-established and you just kind of click it going, and then we could do like a couples thing on Zoom, get a couple of us together, and we could each be our own team of couples for it.
Okay, $1 million idea. So a local bar that does a trivia night where they ship you liquor to the different teams' houses, and then you know, you all get onto a Zoom meeting and you mix your drinks, you do your trivia night. I Jake, I'm about to move on to bigger, better things. I'm going to make $1 million.
Go ahead and do it. Actually, once this is all over, one of the very last nights before lockdown started, we had a game night, and we played. I got the Kickstarter game Half Truths, which is Ken Jennings' Trivial Pursuit style board game. It's not exactly Trivial Pursuit. We need to all get together and play Half Truths. It was so much fun. My quick review, it's a 3-round board game. In each round, there are 6 potential answers. 3 of the answers are true. 3 of the answers are false. It is very difficult to try to figure out sometimes which answers are true and which answers are false. Like, one of the questions is like, which of these towns appear in the opening of Game of Thrones? And it's like Casterly Rock, Lannisport. Like, it's like names of towns in Game of Thrones, and you have to guess.
You know, I mean, so long as they're actual town names, that I feel like...
Oh, they were. They were actual town names in Game of Thrones.
All of them?
All 6 of them. But only 3 of them appeared in the opening credits.
I don't, you know, I know Game of Thrones very well, and I don't know if I could actually answer that well. So
here's the other thing. You don't have to guess all 3 answers. You only have to get 1 right. If you get 1 right, you get 1 point. 2, you get 2. 3, you get 3 points. Mm. The big thing being, if you get any answer wrong, you get 0 points.
Yeah, I gotcha. It's the go big or go home, or, you know, place your bets and hope if you can get it right, awesome. If you don't get it right, you go home with nothing.
Well, so there's some advantages to going big at times. So each round you roll a die beforehand, and that tells you what you're going to get from it. So you can get 1 point per correct answer, 2 points per correct answer, 1 factorial. So that means if you get 1 answer right, you get 1. If you get 2 answers right, you get 3. If you get 3 answers right, you get 5, I believe is what it is. And then there's another one where you have to give the wrong answers.
Oh,
it's like a exclamation point. And then my final thing with the review of that board game is it's 3 rounds. I really wish they had made it the ability to go up to 5 rounds, because we found that it played a little too quick. So the second time we played... we played round 1 twice, round 2 twice, and then round 3. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Nice. No, it sounds fun. Definitely have to do that on next game night.
Yes. In-person game night. I don't know if that one could be played remotely without us each owning a copy of the game.
Mm.
So.
That's fair. Hey, things to look forward to.
Yes. You been up to anything else?
Not really much of anything else, except for continuing to proof my house, because, you know, when you have a 15, 16 month old in the house, she just gets into a little bit more and more trouble every month.
Yeah.
Walking,
it gets better
is
at 4.
A bitch.
I mean, it gets kind of better at 4.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I would have to wait until her teen years, but the other day I got some side eye and I was just like, already? Like,
oh, trust me. a four-year-old girl can be lovey or sassy as fuck. Like, we get, you know, 1 minute she's hugging us, telling us of how great of parents we are, and 5 minutes later she's like, you guys don't care about me. And I'm like, what the hell is this change? So don't worry, you don't have to wait.
Just wait until she gets into her middle school year. She'll know exactly how to hurt you right at the heartstrings.
That's probably true. I might luck out because she seems to be a daddy's girl, so she might not, you know, hurt me that much. But yeah, little girls can be mean.
Oh, no. Becca was telling me the other day one of her friends is having triplets, all girls.
Oh, that hurts so much. I can't imagine having more than one and then having three at the same time and them all being girls. That is rough.
No, it's I was just like, okay, well, just stay over there. You know, it's a lot. It's more than I could take in any given day. So good luck. Good luck. And oof, hopefully you have family around.
Oh, yeah, that sounds rough. Yeah. Well, I think we should hop into our main topic of the week. And I thought with your Batman fandom, the comic multiverse would be a good place to start out. Marvel, DC, and more. I thought that would be a good topic for us. So, how deep are you into comics? Or do you go into them, or are you just a really big Batman fan?
You know, so if I were to rate my comic book fandom, like how big of a comic book fan I am, I would probably give myself a solid 7.5. And the reason I say that is because I do love reading the printed comics. Like, I really do, but I get to enjoy them far less than I really would like to. I typically get a lot more exposure to, like, the movies, the animated flicks. You know, if we're talking Batman, watch end-to-end of the animated series, all, of course, the different movies, including back to the Adam West ones. So that was really most of my exposure to Batman specifically, but I do love reading comics.
All right. So let's talk multiverse for a second. So I think we've got, in this day and age, we've got two main big comic books, Marvel and DC. I really don't know what the multiverse looks like in Marvel anymore. I know they had 616 and Ultimates, and then they, a couple years ago, did Secret Wars, which merged the two universes. And I don't know if Marvel now has multiple universes. DC has always been a fan of the multiverse. I mean, in the 80s, they did 80s, late 90s, or late 80s, early 90s, they did the Crisis on Infinite Earths. They just recently merged, then demerged, and then had Multiversity, which established 52 universes, but then
Batman, the new 52?
New 52 is different than the 52 universes that there are.
Oh, geez.
But then Batman Dark Knight established that there is a dark set of the universes, and I don't know if there's 52 in the dark set. And then on top of that, you've got that Neil Gaiman Sandman somehow exists within the DC universe, but is outside of the DC universe. And later this year, they are going to have a crossover with Joe Hill's Lock and Key, which is an IDW comic book. So those universes are going to be connected some ways. And I already know within the past few years, IDW and DC had a crossover where Batman teamed up with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So
great comic book.
Multiverses are confusing, to say the least.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, there's one out there that has a pretty good analog, both for the individuals that like to read comic books directly, and also a movie adaptation, and that's the Flashpoint Paradox. Really good, solid alternative timeline to the DC universe. Just small snippets. Bruce Wayne is the one that actually ends up dying the day in the alley, and it ends up being Thomas Wayne that ends up taking on the mantle of the Dark Knight, along with his mother Martha. It ends up being the one that becomes the Joker. It's a very, very good, solid alternative story to what is most of the established lore for DC. But yeah, there's a lot of really good multiverse, different timeline stories out there if you look.
So Flashpoint is what led to the New 52. I don't know exactly what year Flashpoint was, but pretty much the concept is Flash goes back in time to stop Reverse Flash from killing his mother. In stopping Reverse Flash from killing his mother, he creates a paradox world where events like that, Aquaman and Wonder Woman have an affair, which starts a war between Themyscira and Atlantis, and Flash ends up becoming the Flash again, realizes he fucked up, has to go back in time and kill his mother, or let Reverse Flash kill his mother so that the universe corrects itself. But since he already changed the universe, it creates a new universe, which ends up being the new merger universe, which is the New 52, which only like a year and a half later, they semi-undo by bringing in, I think, a multiversity, which then gives us 52 universes. So DC's big into the multiverse. And yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm a little surprised it's taken this long for certain comic book companies to get this brazen with it, because I mean, if you think about comics in general, there's a lot of retelling of stories of individuals. If you're just talking about mainstream characters like Wolverine or Spider-Man, I mean, how many titles do they individually have? And so there's a lot of different stories out there, and it just makes the most sense to have different universes where they may not necessarily completely align.
Yes. So let's step away from Marvel, because I don't know Marvel as well when it comes to the multiverse. I pretty much just read Thor from Marvel. I've picked up a couple of their other things that are non-superhero stuff. Pretty much all of Jason Aaron's work, his Conan run. I should really read his Doctor Strange run, the Star Wars comics, which are in Marvel's label, but they're not Marvel Universe. So I don't know Marvel as well. But talking about DC, I find it confusing, especially when I was reading a lot of comics, trying to keep the plot lines straight, because Marvel's always kind of done a relatively good job at keeping everything kind of connected. Separate. DC, on the other hand, I think gives their writers a little bit more creative freedom. So you might have something happen in Wonder Woman, which contradicts events in Batman, which contradicts events in Superman. So what I would really like to see, at least for DC to do the next time they really want to adapt the multiverse and absorb the multiverse, is when you get a comic issue, in the top right corner, there's a circle and there's a number in it. And that is telling you what universe this comic takes place in. So you might have Batman, which takes place in Universe Zero. Detective Comics could take place in Universe One. Robin could be Earth Zero. Superman might be Earth Two. And this way you can kind of go, yeah, events are semi-similar, but if something doesn't mesh, that's because they're not the exact same universe, and we're establishing that there are different universes existing. And then you could even run multiple plot lines. Like, you could have, I don't know, Batman, Detective Comics, and The Dark Knight, which are all Batman comics, but don't have to mesh perfectly because they could each take place in a different DC universe.
No, I think that's brilliant, especially considering, like, a lot of these comic books, they go through and then do, like, compendiums or complete runs together. So, you know, if you're like me and love to binge entire series, that would be brilliant, where you could take an entire, you know, Earth 2 as a series and then yes. throw it all together and read it start to finish and say, okay, this is one cohesive storyline. Let me try something else. Let's take a look at Earth 27 or whatnot. That would make my reading experience amazing. I would totally love it.
Yeah, and on that note, like, so DC's got this thing. So they let Kevin Smith write a set of comics for DC before Flashpoint. It was Cacophony and Widening Gyre. Now, there's supposed to be a third one in that series. It has not come out yet. I don't know if it ever will come out. Kevin Smith, if you happen to be listening, I would love for you to finish this series. But that takes place in...
Also, stop by Rochester. We would love you.
Oh, yeah. Please, next time you can tour when this virus is over, do not go to UB. Come to Rochester. We probably don't have a venue big enough to hold you, but it would be amazing because I have to go to UB to see everything. Kevin Smith, Last Podcast on the Left, things like that. But Widening Gyre and Cacophony, I think Widening Gyre is the second in the series. And it took place after Flashpoint, but was in the pre-Flashpoint universe. And if they ever release the last comic, it would be pre-Flashpoint. So it would actually take place in the now dead DC universe. Comics, man.
Comics.
Yeah. Multiverses. Yeah. And I don't even know about Marvel's. Like, they definitely do a better job at being cohesive. And I even think Marvel brings that into their movies. All the Marvel movies are connected. The TV shows are technically connected. The Netflix shows technically took place in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where DC itself has at least two movie universes right now. Two live universes. It's got the CW universe and the movie universe.
Admittedly, the TV universe is much, much more cohesive and better put together than the cinematic universe.
100%, but I stopped watching the TV universe, and losing Arrow is what hurt. Man, if they could get Stephen Amell to come back as Green Arrow in the movie universe, that would be amazing. I actually want to see Stephen Amell fight, and I'm going to butcher this name, I'm sorry, Joe, you're an amazing geek and actor, Joe Magniella Deathstroke, that we got teased. The fact we haven't seen that. And Manu, I forget his last name, that played Deathstroke in Arrow was absolutely amazing. But I think Joe versus Steven would also be a great battle. Way better than I know it was supposed to be Deathstroke versus Batman. Actually, they do have multiple universes in DC's movie, because I think Joker is actually an Elseworld story, and I think the new Batman that's going to star Robert Pattinson does not take place in the DC proper movie universe, which might be dead. Yeah, Wonder Woman might be the last of that universe.
Some of the branchings of that multiverse is not so much a matter of choice. They're basically doing it to try and keep things alive because they got, you know, Henry Cavill leaving, among other things. So it's just, you know, they're like, what do we do to keep this going and try and make money? Which right now DC really for me is mainly hooking me on comics, and the occasional animated flick. But outside of Wonder Woman, I have not been very happy with most of their new movies.
So breaking news, actually, many Facebook groups I'm part of sent me this, and it's from comicbook.com, which is a semi-reliable source. As of tonight, The Witcher himself, Henry Cavill, is apparently going to return to play Superman in multiple DC movies. But Batfleck is done, so who's going to be the new Batman? And Ezra Miller beat up a person at a bar. Who knows if Ezra Miller will remain on as Flash? They need to do Flashpoint in the movie universe to fix the movie universe for DC.
You know, earlier I had my $1 million idea. I think, Jake, you just had your $1 million idea, because I think that might be the only hope that DC has left is just light it up and bring it back as something completely different.
You have an amazing Flash already. Start Flashpoint in the Flash TV show. Have that end in a movie. And at the end of it, scrap the universe as a whole. Start fresh. You can keep Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman.
Absolutely.
And you can replace who you need to replace and come up with a cohesive movie universe like Marvel. Have a single person running the story. And if you want to do stories that don't fit it, slap the Elseworld brands on the movie, you know, just have it be like Joker Elseworld so that we know it's not in universe, and fix that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Though
fix
I
it.
Do have a lot now, of hope for James Gunn's Suicide Squad. We saw what he can do with the Guardians. I think his Suicide Squad will be amazing.
Yes, I definitely have more hope for it than the first one. You know, I generally like to see comic book movies in the theaters, and that is one that I was so happy I didn't spend the money in theaters. It was not worth it.
I saw it in theaters. It wasn't horrible. It was not as bad as Ready Player One was, which is not a comic book movie, but that was
I saw
movie.
That one in theaters. Ugh.
I think you saw that one with me in theaters. It was for my birthday, and I love that book and was so disappointed by that movie. I will say DC has a third, fourth, fifth movie universe that is not usually in theaters that is amazing. DC's animated movies, everyone I've watched has been great. They do great in the animated world. They just got to get whoever's doing the animated movies in. They might not be great live directors, but as runners of the live action universe, get a cohesive story. Kathleen Kennedy, if you're listening, you also need to get a cohesive story on Star Wars. Do not have three different directors work on a trilogy so the story does not fit together. Solo has been the best of the new Star Wars movies. So, sorry.
Ooh, Jake, I'm going to have to sit back and disagree on that one. I think Rogue One is the best of the newest movies, but we can agree to disagree on that.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of comics, and I don't mind in our topic of the week wandering into other geek stuff. So let me go through it. So here's my ranking for the new Star Wars movie, the post-Disney just movie universe, because if you bring in Clone Wars and Rogue or Rebels, totally different story. It goes Solo, Last Jedi, Rogue One, Force Awakens, Rise of Skywalker for me.
Okay. And that grunt was not about your list. I want to make that very clear. But that grunt was me trying to figure out how I was going to place the last couple of mine. So I would have to put Rogue One at the top.
Okay.
I actually put Force Awakens directly behind that. Then I go Last Jedi, then Solo, then Rise of Skywalker.
Hmm. All right. So here's my brief overview of each movie and why I've ranked them. So let's start with Solo. Solo has been the best world-building movie in Star Wars in a very long time. It actually established a world outside of this small little galactic empire. We got to see the smugglers. We got to see Lando. We got to see how big the universe really is, plus Darth Maul. Rogue One was a really beautiful movie that told a story that we may not have needed. I don't know if we needed to know how the Death Star plans were stolen in movie, but it was really, really beautiful. I don't remember the order that I listed them off in going into the description.
So I think if I remember, you actually went...
Had Last Jedi after.
Yes.
Yes, I think I skipped Last Jedi there. Last Jedi has been the most original of the main Star Wars titles ever. What they did to Luke, though controversial, was a great character development for Luke. The man was defeated. He was taught by people who ran away, Yoda and Obi-Wan, and he did the same goddamn thing. He ran away when the going got tough. He was a true Jedi, and he was right. It was time for the Jedi to die. Kylo was right. It was time to let the past die and kill it if you have to. That movie was a good movie. Canto Bite was a little bit rough, but it was a very beautiful scene and also good at world building. Force Awakens really just restarted it, but when it comes down to it, was just a beautiful retelling of Episode 4. It didn't have enough originality, and Skywalker, Rise of Skywalker, was just a slop of JJ trying to ignore what Rian Johnson did and doing it poorly and not actually giving us any true character development. And somehow the whole goddamn movie takes place in the span of 12 hours in the galaxy, even though they have set up in established lore that travel takes time. There's no way that that whole movie took place in the span of 12 hours, even with warp speed. I mean, it's so bad that I even messed up what their speed travel was called. Yeah, and Exegol and the Emperor, it just makes no sense. It's a bad movie. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. So I'm actually, I'll start from the bottom up, because actually our last pick linked up.
Yeah.
The Rise of Skywalker. No, it was garbage for a lot of reasons. There was far too much that I literally sat in my living room and went, that was in the last Jedi. Yeah, that part that was in The Last Jedi. Like that, it there was way too much of it that was from previous movies. Like it was garbage. I was not happy walking away from it. It did have a couple really good moments in plots, storytelling devices. Like they really did convince me that Chewie died initially, which I was devastated.
Yep. To just overrule that less than 5 minutes later.
Yep.
Because nothing can be of permanence in that movie, because the fans might get angry if anything is permanent. Trust me, I would have been mad if they killed Chewie, but that was a bad plot point. He should have either been dead, or Rey should have never used Force Lightning on a ship that she thought, well, that we later learned Chewbacca was in.
I gotcha. Okay. So let's see here. Going from the bottom, the next one, Solo. This is going to be a personal choice because, one, I have a hard time watching a movie based around the character of Solo while Harrison Ford is still alive. Like, there's just not enough separation for me to see a young Solo. But also, I had a really hard time in the first two acts getting hooked in the movie. The third act was good, but the first two acts were very slow to me and just didn't really pull me in. That's why I have to put it down towards the bottom of my list.
So I will give you, if you want opening on that, that should not have been a Solo movie. It should have been a Lando movie with a Han Solo and Chewbacca cameo somewhere in it.
Because I think that that would have been much, much better. Donald Glover was phenomenal.
His Lando. My God, that needs to be a movie. Donald Glover Lando. And they could even have Billy Dee Williams be the one telling the story and do it as flashbacks and bring both Landos there. Oh, okay. Sorry for the interruption there.
No, that I would totally, that movie would probably be in the higher half of my list if that was actually what it was. Like, if it was a Lando movie rather than a Solo movie. They still needed to pick things up either in the first or the second act. But I think that you couple those two together and it would have been a solid movie. But for me, it definitely was down towards the bottom.
Real quick question. Have you watched Rebels and Clone Wars all the way through?
No, right. I actually haven't seen any of Rebels, and Clone Wars, I have made attempts and just have not found the time to really get through it. It's definitely on my list. Want to see it. Not there yet.
I think those movies might have made me put Solo higher just for the Darth Maul stuff, because it all connects into Rebel and Clone Wars. And
I gotcha. I do love Maul as a character. I thought he was well too short-lived in the prequel trilogies, given the fact that he was one of the few good things about the prequel trilogies. I've heard those murmurs that he's in there. That happens at the end. And so I have a hard time bumping that up on my list.
Yeah, I get that. All right, keep going.
Okay, let's see here. I believe next would be the Last Jedi, if I'm remembering.
I think you had Last Jedi next.
Yeah, Last Jedi, the reason it's in the middle of the list is the unnecessary plots. I do get the whole universe building thing, but the reality is that in a movie, you don't have too much time to universe build. You have to really focus on the story you're trying to tell. I thought the whole Canto Bite thing it wasted time. It wasted time where they could have put into more of some of the stuff with either Luke or Rey. That was where I had a hard time with the movie overall.
So, to hop in, I'm giving my take on Star Wars throughout your take on Star Wars. So I think
it's all good.
There was an editing issue in Star Wars in The Last Jedi. And I think it may have been weird to watch it this way. But I think the Rey scenes we get where she's training with Luke, I think most of that happens before the First Order ever attacks the Rebel base, and they go into running. So I think if you wanted to tell it chronologically and have it make more sense, the first act should have almost been all Rey and Luke. Then we hop to the First Order attack. We see what happens with the Rebels, Canto Bite, then bring in that's Act 2, and then Act 3 is Rey returning and all that stuff. Just to get it chronologically where that movie should have been, because I think it's chronologically split up where things are happening.
No, that makes sense. I will say that I cannot in good conscience place any movie that has Yoda in it below the 50 point marker. That was hands down probably my favorite scene of the new trilogy, in spite of the fact that I place Force Awakens above Last Jedi in the overall order for me.
JJ? If you had done Force Ghost in Rise of Skywalker and we saw Yoda, the rating automatically would have had to be higher because we would have seen Yoda.
No, it's at least 20 points. At least 20 points higher just for Yoda.
If behind Rey we had seen Yoda and Ahsoka and Luke and Anakin as actual Force Ghosts, I mean, the movie would have still been rough, but that scene would have been visually amazing and probably brought the movie as a whole up for me.
I mean, hell, we know they can do that many ghosts in Harry Potter, so I mean, they clearly can do it in Star Wars. I mean, come on.
Yeah. All right, so Last Jedi.
Next, it's going to be Force Awakens. I will absolutely admit it's essentially a retelling of Episode 4. The reason why I have to put it high up on the list is that it does, in spite of that, a decent job introducing the new characters, getting you hooked on them, getting you excited about them and where their adventures are going. That's not easy in such an established universe. So that is why Force Awakens is that high up on my list. And it's not necessarily that high because of being incredibly good. I just think compared to some of the others, it just edges out a little bit above.
Okay.
But Rogue One, hands down, number one for me. I think that it absolutely told a story that was interesting. Stylistically, it blended perfectly with the original trilogy. And actually, I still can't find plot holes in spite of the probably dozen rewatchings that I've done of the movie between it and the original trilogy. It blends perfectly in with the rest of the originals, and that is a hard feat to achieve, and they did it spectacularly.
I mean, it does fall very well into the universe that I've fallen in love with the Thrawn books, which take place at the same time. Rebels, and again, Rebels kind of falls during that entire time.
The next time you're at my house, Jake, check out, I have first editions of the Thrawn trilogy. They were a birthday gift.
Ooh.
Yes.
The new first one edition. Or the original?
So original first prints hardcovers from the Thrawn trilogy when they first came out.
I'm not talking about the 90s Timothy Zahn Thrawn. I'm talking about the 2000s Timothy Zahn Thrawn, which is canon, where the 90s one is not canon. So they brought Timothy Zahn back, and he redid Thrawn to fit in the established universe.
That makes me both happy and sad. Happy because there's now a Thrawn story that I have not read that I get to look forward to.
Three. Ooh. And the fourth one, I don't know if Thrawn's going to be in it. Actually, it is. It's Thrawn Ascendancy. So they're going to do another set of Thrawn books coming out later this year. And Thrawn also is a semi-main character in Rebels Season 3 and 4.
Okay.
So.
Definitely going to check that out.
And, you know, this has done what all my podcasts have done, and we have veered so much off the main topic of comics into Star Wars, which is fine. We never stay on topic on my podcast. It's becoming part of it. But I want to end our Star Wars conversation with one final thing. JJ, you did my boy Snap wrong. Snap should not have died. Snap should be the general of the Resistance Army. You got to read Aftermath. You got to understand who Snap is and why Snap is one of the most amazing characters in the new Star Wars universe.
Amen.
So, the way you killed Snap was wrong, JJ. Very wrong. So, before we veer into Conspiracy Corner, any other thoughts on the comic book multiverse?
Just that let's hope that the DC cinematic multiverse can sort itself out into a cohesive story in the next 5 years, 10 tops.
Yeah. Get someone to hold it together. DC, you need a Feige. Get a Feige.
For a second, I heard Fauci, and I was like, what in the heck is Fauci going to do for this?
DC, you need Fauci. He needs to be in every movie telling us how we need to wear masks, and then you can just bring the superheroes on, and Batman can be like, my face is now covered under my mask, too, because in case I cough, I don't want to spread COVID.
Yeah, and then you'd also be there, are you all mocking me? I hear you're talking now. You're talking like me. Are you mocking me?
That's Batman voice. This is my voice. I am Batman.
Dude,
I am darkness.
That's a good
night.
Batman voice.
Perhaps. I wear a mask to protect against COVID. I am Batman. All right. So we before we do an outro, I always go into Conspiracy Corner, and man, these things wander. So let's see where this takes us. But for our Conspiracy Supernatural Corner, I wanted to talk about the multiverse, but this time outside of comic books. In the real world. So, do you know anything about the real world multiverse?
Well, I know there was actually recently a study that was completely taken out of context and went viral all over the internet that NASA had found a parallel universe.
Where time moves in reverse, man. Time moves in reverse.
Yeah, I got really excited until I realized that the clickbait got me yet again.
So, like, here's my thing. If there's a parallel universe where time moves in reverse, has that universe died already and it's moving back towards the Big Bang? Or, like, does everyone just walk backwards and speak backwards because time's in reverse? Like, does everything spin the other way? Like,
well,
what
so
does that
here...
mean?
Here's the million-dollar question. If it goes in reverse, where are we within the time scope of our universe's beginning and end? Because at some point, that universe that goes in reverse is going to meet up and be experiencing the exact same moment if it is actually running in reverse, but the same events.
True. Very true. All right, so let's take a moment. All right, so multiverse. I am a certified Toastmaster back when my company had Toastmasters, and one of the conversations I did was on multiverses. And let me see if I can remember. There's like five different types of multiverse. There's the stack where like there's just a bunch of universes stacked on top of each other. There and they don't cross. There's the bubbles, which is there's a bunch of bubble universes. They bounce into each other. Sometimes they pop. There's a theory that, like, there's a decision universe where, like, there's big decisions and those each create a universe. And I forget what the other two were. So there's multiple theories about a multiverse. It's not proven. I love the concept of a multiverse, especially now that NASA's saying, like, there's potentially a universe where things move backwards, that maybe, like, the Big Bang created multiple universes, things like that. But when it comes to the multiverse, one of my favorite concepts is the Mandela effect. Do you know what the Mandela effect is?
I feel like I've heard the term, but refresh my memory.
All right, so it refers to this specific event. A bunch of people remember Nelson Mandela dying in prison in, like, the 1980s. That's not personally the Mandela effect I know. I come from a Berenstain universe, not a Berenstain universe, where it was spelled differently in the 90s, that you can't find books like that. I also remember Shazam, that starred, what's that guy's name, that, like, that one comedian that wore the baggy pants. It now stars Shaq, and I think it's called Kazam, but it was Shazam, and it starred, I'm blanking on his name right now. Sinbad. Starred Sinbad.
Oh, yeah, I gotcha, yep.
So, yeah, there's concept, there's multiverses out there that people can travel between the universes, that we can't touch universes, that when we turned on the Large Hadron Collider, that we started a set of multiverses, and goddamn, if that's right, we rolled a one and ended up in the darkest timeline, because we are without a doubt in the darkest timeline in 2020 right now. Little Community reference for those who watch Community. But yeah, I think out of, like, the conspiracy supernatural realm, the multiverse is one of the most interesting concepts out there. So do you have any thoughts on the multiverse? Because I think I slapped you with a bunch of real world fake info about the multiverse, because none of it can be proven.
No, I honestly have a hard time believing the one related to every action creates its own separate universe, because if been a math nerd for most of my life, and just even if you're speaking fractally, the amount of universes that would be created in a given moment, just when you think, like, every action by every individual in the world would reverberate, it just, too many things happen.
Did, like, you play BioShock Infinite?
It is, so the collection is on my Christmas list, because I've always heard great things, but I've never actually played.
Oh, okay. Zipping my lip on that one. For that one to make sense, I feel like there's got to be key people or key moments, or, like...
Yeah, like your Abraham Lincolns, or your, you know, Mahatma Gandhis, or your Julius Caesars, or, you know, people who are, like, focal points of history making a different decision.
Well, what I think would be even more interesting in that is to find out that, like, yeah, that multiverse theory is true, but we as humans think we're so important, our decisions don't even affect the multiverse. There's some sort of alien race that's really the one that's creating the decision trees, and our decisions don't freaking matter at all to the multiverse.
Oh, no, I got one even better for you. Imagine if, like, we're sitting here, we're like, you know, we're prime alpha species, and, you know, the multiverse is actually being branched out from the seagulls. Like, just, you know.
Oh, that'd be great.
It's just like, yes, you think you're all important, but all hail Lord Gull. Lord Gull.
I think the one that makes the most sense to me is probably that the Big Bang created multiple universes, or that there were multiple Big bangs and like each one created a universe, or there's even one that's kind of like, so we think of, you know, planet, solar system, galaxy, set of galaxies equals a local cluster, then you get the universe. Well, what if there's even a stage out where there's actually sets of universes, and like what really makes them different is like our universe, let's call it Universe Prime, actually has like a different law of physics that control it than the neighboring universe. And it'll take us forever to realize that there's another universe out there. Like, we couldn't ever get there. We can't even see to the end of our universe. And that's a hard statement to make, because like, we're actually seeing back in time. We don't know how big our universe actually is in light years. So I don't think the, like, if I decided to snap my fingers right now versus not snap my fingers creates a universe in which I did just snap my fingers now. I don't think that one's very likely.
No, and actually the one you were just talking about, where, you know, you're taking everything at a layer, I actually think that is pretty compelling, especially if it were to be a case where different universes were truly actually independent. Like, not, I mean, if you think about it, a lot of the whole, you know, different decisions, multiverse theory is very egocentric. It's still very centered on us being the central part of it. Whereas if you think, oh, well, you know, in the Big Bang, there is actually simultaneously other universes being created, but there's no interaction of molecules. There's not the same grouping of matter, energy, and all that in those other universes, and they're going to have completely, completely different trajectories. I think that is fascinating, because it takes a little bit of our ego out of the equation.
Yeah, I this has been a common topic, I think, across some of the podcasts. Humanity, we cast a lot of importance on ourselves that I don't know if we deserve. We're prime on Earth, but when we finally do find those aliens, which they're out there, there's no way in how big the universe is that we're the only intelligent species. Maybe we're the only spacefaring species, but I wouldn't be surprised, you know, we run into Klingons that are war-worthy and they just destroy us. Like, you know, we ain't prime. Yeah. I don't know if we're prime in the universe. We think we're prime. We want to be important. And we cast a lot of importance onto ourselves, and that every decision kind of plays a role into that. Back in high school, I used to have a quote. I think I almost made it my yearbook quote, too, that, like, every story we tell is true in some universe. Like, Lord of the Rings exists. It's just not in our universe.
And that's the biggest tragedy of my life, because I would love to be eating as much as a hobbit.
Oh, you got anything else on the multiverse? We never actually come to anything on Conspiracy Corner. We just talk about the conspiracy. So,
no, I mean, that's hey, you got someone with ADHD on your podcast, so we're just going to kind of go off on tangents. But that sounds like that's par for the course.
Yeah, no, I do not like a cohesive podcast. I've come to that. Like, we have an outline, but that's just to get us talking and going places. It's really just two friends talking. You know, the politics podcast that me and last week's guest Aaron is going to start is going to be much more cohesive. We're going to have topics we discuss, but I'd also like at some point to get us together for a group podcast. I'd love to see where, like, having two or three or even four guests would go with some of these topics. It'd probably run like 3 hours for the podcast too.
Hey, that will be fine. And then you might have to do some editing.
Yeah, I might at that point. Last week I started taking notes on certain points, and like, it would become much more important on that one to have notes of certain points to cut. and change versus releasing an hour to 2 hour podcast without really any edits, other than cutting a little bit at the beginning and a little bit of the end off. So, you know, this is going to take us into our outro. Tony, thanks for joining me. It's been fun. It's been fun catching up on forms that aren't just chat forms that we have like 30 billion different ways of discussing things with each other. So the last thing I do on each of these is I usually end with a quote, and then that takes us out. So today's quote is from Bertrand Russell, and I thought this was a fun one. The fundamental cause of the trouble is that the modern world, the stupid are cocksure, while the intelligent are full of doubt. Well, from a podcast standpoint, bye, Tony.
Bye, Jake.